Freddie Mercury, many of you know him as the lead singer of the classic band Queen. He had an amazing voice. He could have been on Broadway, I think. He had everything the world can offer, but shortly before his death, he made this profound statement. I guess it's not working, huh? What's going on with this thing? Yeah, beautiful. He says, "You can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. And that is the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, or dollars for us, of course. But it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship." That's the one thing we all need, church. A loving, ongoing relationship. And the only perfect, loving, and ongoing relationship that we long for is the only one that our perfect and faithful Creator can provide. Nothing this world can offer us will satisfy the longing in our hearts for a relationship with God. And there's nothing that we can do to earn a relationship with God. If anyone could, it would have been the Pharisee, Saul. He was a very, very religious man who sought to perfectly obey God's commands and serve Him with all his heart. His life was radically changed, though, when he met Jesus. He had met the mighty God Himself, who gave up everything to become a man, to live the perfect life Saul never could, no matter how hard he tried, to die the death that Saul deserved for his sin, and to raise from the dead, to give Saul the life he was made for. Life with God. He met the one his soul longed for, and he realized nothing was worth more than getting to know Him. As many of you already know, his name changed to Paul, and God used him in a mighty way to share the good news with many people and to write much of the New Testament. In the book of Philippians, Paul expresses how much knowing Jesus is the best thing ever and that nothing compares to that. Check this out. It worked at 8:30, I promise. "But whatever I gain..." He's talking about his impressive family heritage and his service for God. "But whatever I gain, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish or filth or literally dung, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith." He was trusting. He had his faith in Jesus, trusting that He did what Paul never could do. "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." There's something more that fame can't satisfy, that money can't buy, that the sweetest earthly relationship can't fulfill, and that not even the strictest religious zeal can obtain. And that something is knowing God. That something is a personal relationship with God. In John 10, Jesus is describing the relationship we were made for. He uses the analogy of the relationship of a shepherd to his sheep. Check this out. This is pretty powerful. John 10, 14 through 15. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." My first observation would be that this is a crazy close relationship that God's talking about, that He is offering us with Him. The Father and Jesus are so close that they are one. They are one God. This is the one God that we serve. We sung about it today. The God who is outside our boxes. One God existing eternally as three persons: Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. One God existing eternally as a perfect relationship of Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. So we're not talking about just knowing the facts about God when we say knowing God. We're talking about becoming one with Him. The closest earthly example we have to this, which pales in comparison, but it's the closest we have, it's that of marriage. It's where a husband and wife become one flesh. So we're not just talking about a knowledge of the facts. We're talking about an intimate, close relationship with God. It's also a possessive knowledge. Notice that it says, I know my own, and my own know me. It's not the knowledge that a fanatic might have about their celebrity obsession. It's the knowledge you have when you belong to somebody. It's the kind of relationship that I entered into with my wife when I said, I do. What is mine became Catherine's, and what is Catherine's became mine. When you put your trust in Jesus, even though you don't feel it sometimes, what is yours becomes His, and what is His becomes yours. When you put your trust in Jesus, you become a victorious and highly favored, highly treasured son and daughter and or daughter of God. So is this close relationship, this close intimate relationship with God, is it even possible? Well, with man, no, but with God, of course. Because with God, nothing's impossible, right? So how can we have this kind of relationship with God? Well, as most of you know, it starts with trust. Trust is the foundation of any healthy relationship, and especially one with God. We as followers of Jesus will often refer to ourselves as believers because we believe in Jesus. We have put all our trust in Him to rescue us from our sin and restore a right relationship with God. John 3:16, many of us can quote it, frontwards, maybe even backwards. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. We believe in Jesus and we're given eternal life. But what's eternal life? John 17:3 tells us that it's to know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. When we believe in Jesus, the door is swung wide open for us to have a real, close relationship with God. When we're describing this and sharing this with people, it's important for us to note that believing in Jesus is not just believing that He's a real living person, like we would believe that Pastor Sam McGarvey is a real living person, even though he's not here today. Jesus is here, by the way. The kind of belief that takes you from knowing about God to having the capacity to really know Him is a belief that requires action. Believing in Jesus is nothing short of putting your entire trust, your entire lives, into His hands. So there's a video that we like to show at youth group. Don't be thrown off by the fact that it's a cartoon. I think it's one of the best ways to explain what believing in someone, what trusting in someone, what that looks like. Check it out. Put true faith in Jesus. If you truly believe in Jesus, you will trust Him. If you've never put your faith in Jesus to save you from your sins so you can have a real relationship with God, I want to address you right now. A groom relentlessly pursues the bride he loves. And even in a greater sense, Jesus has come after you. He didn't want life without you, so He pursued you. He boldly chased after you to rescue you from sin, from your rejection of God's way, to go your own way. Your sin has left you broken, without hope, and without the relationship with God you were made for. Jesus has come to rescue you from all that, but He won't force you to trust Him. I ask you today, will you put your trust in Jesus? Will you today get out of the driver's seat of your life and call out to Jesus, my life is yours. Wherever you're going, that's where I want to go. Whatever you're doing, that's what I want to do. I hope that you will do that today if you haven't. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your entire life. Pray that today that you will turn from doing life your way and do it God's way. That you will put all your hope and trust in Jesus, the one who gave up everything to live the life you never could. To die the death that you deserved for your sin. And who rose from the dead to give you life. The life you were made for. Life with God forever. So many of us have already put our trust in Jesus at one point in our lives. But there's more. There's trusting Him today and every day. If you're not ready to do that, then you'll never grow to have the relationship with God that you were meant to have. This was the case in my life for a long time. I put my trust in Jesus at age 4, but I missed the truth that when I did, I became one with Him. That His victory over sin was now mine. How many of you know that? When you trust in Jesus, you become one with Him and His victory over sin becomes yours. From age 13 till about 20, though, I struggled with a sin addiction that I couldn't quite shake. I would tell Jesus that I'd do better next time and I'd work really hard to live for Him like Saul. But I just kept going back to the same sin. Many of you know what I'm talking about. I can still remember the first sermon that I ever heard Pastor Dan Seaman preach. Many of you know Pastor Dan. This is before I went to Northridge. This is when he came and preached at my alma mater, North Raleigh Christian Academy. He shared from Galatians, and the gist of it was really inspirational. It was quit. It's a very inspirational message, right? Okay, but it was very inspirational for me, and this one, something clicked. What Dan was sharing was quit trying to do for God what Jesus is ready to do through you. So looking back, that's when it really, everything changed for me. Trusting in Jesus was no longer a one-time event for me. It was a lifelong relationship. Trusting in Jesus is a lifelong relationship, not a lifelong attempt of us to do things for Him. I love how Colossians 2:6 puts it. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. We receive Jesus by completely trusting Him as Savior and Lord, and so we must walk in Him. We must continue our complete trust in Him as our daily Savior and daily Lord. So a real relationship with God, it starts with trust, and it never stops. We always are learning more about trusting Him. And a real relationship with God also grows as we spend time with Him. Time is an essential ingredient to any successful relationship. You will not grow in any relationship that you're not willing to invest time into. I'm married to an amazing wife, Catherine. But what if I never made any effort to spend time with her? Would my relationship with her grow? Of course not. Why would we ever expect that in our relationship with God? My relationship with my wife grows when I take time to spend with her one-on-one and to hear what's on her heart and to share with her what's on mine. It also grows as I enjoy doing life with her. Our relationship with God grows as we take time to get away from the busyness of our lives and stop to spend time with Him one-on-one. Jesus did this and He invites us to follow Him in it. Luke 5:16 says that Jesus Himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. He would get away from it all to spend one-on-one time with His Father. Unless we're willing to do this, we'll never have the relationship with God that we were made for. Our relationship with God grows when we spend one-on-one time with Him, but it also grows when we invite Him to have His way in every area of our lives. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, many of you know it. How amazing it would be if we lived by it every day. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So are you ready, church? Are you ready to trust Jesus in all your ways? Are you ready to trust Him with every area of your life? Every moment of your day? Are you ready to do life with Him? That's what you were made for. Well, how does this exactly work, right? I mean, our God has no beginning and no end. All we see is beginning and end, birth and death. How can we as finite beings even begin to know an infinite God, even if we had the time for it? Well, the good news is that when you trusted in Jesus, His Spirit came to live inside you. How sweet is that? The Spirit of the risen Christ is inside you. And as you invite Him to take more and more control over your life, He will empower you to grow closer and closer in your relationship with God. But of course, this takes time, right? I encourage you to take that time. I encourage you to schedule a time and place where you can meet with God, to get away from everything and meet with Him one-on-one, face-to-face. What will you do with that time? Well, many of you have that time and you have some really great ways to spend it, but one thing that's been really encouraging to me, as elementary as it may sound, is pray, read, and write. Those are the three things I think about when I'm coming to spend time with God. I want to pray, I want to read His Word, and I want to write down what He's showing me. I want to pray, I want to ask Him to speak to me. I want to share with Him what's on my heart. And I want to read His Word. I want to see what's on His heart. And then I want to write it down. We are way more likely to remember something if we write it down, right? Okay, so here's an example of how that might work in your daily life. You take time to spend time with God. Maybe it's in the morning. You get away from everything. You open up your Bible. Let's say you open up to Psalm 112. You're reading Psalm 112, and you see that there is an upright man, an upright woman there, who gives of their wealth freely to the poor. And you're like, Jesus, that's what I want. I want to be upright, and I want to give my wealth freely to the poor. Then later in that day, Jesus opens up an opportunity for you to do just that. So, we spend time with Him alone in the secret place. But my personal issue is a lot of times, I take the time that I spend time with God alone. I take that time to spend with Him alone, but then I stop there and I fail to acknowledge His presence with me at many points throughout the rest of the day. So don't stop at your personal devotional time. Do life with God. Take time to acknowledge Him in all your ways. Take moments to recognize Him there with you. Thank Him for things throughout your days. Invite Him to take control of you and live His life through you. And look for ways to obey His Word at school, at home, at work, wherever you go. So I'm definitely not saying that I have this all down, right? There's days where I completely miss the boat in acknowledging God in all my ways, and sometimes miss the boat in taking that time to just be with Him. But I invite you to join me, church family, as I continue in the admonition of Hosea 6:3. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. I also encourage you, don't grow in your relationship with God alone. If someone ever tells you, I don't need church, I just need Jesus, they're really missing the whole point. We can't grow in a relationship with Jesus unless we're spending time with His body, the church. And I don't mean just coming and making space in a pew. I mean spending time getting to know your brothers and sisters. That's why Hebrews tells us to not stop meeting together, because we are in need of each other's encouragement. I've seen this so many times in my own life. See my brother Rob Ballstad up there, my older brother in the Lord. And I remember Saturday here at church where he prayed for me that I would know Jesus like a friend. That was 7 years ago, and I've been amazed since then how God's been answering that prayer. I have two friends, Aaron and John. Every time I hang out with these guys, I want to get to know Jesus more. Because I see Him at work through Him, through them. They are so filled with the joy of Jesus. It just bubbles up out of them. They are shining with the joy of Jesus. And my heart desires that. I want to be so filled with the joy of Jesus that it's just bubbling out of me like it is Aaron and John. So we need each other, guys. We need the encouragement of each other in order to grow in our relationship with Jesus. So I want to close with this last thought. Knowing God is what we were made for, and Jesus shows us the perfect example of what it looks like. Jesus lived a life of full trust and surrender to His Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived life with God in the secret place and in all His ways. He died and rose from the dead and sent His Spirit so that we could do the same. Are you ready for that? Is there anything that is keeping you today from getting to know God more? I encourage you, if there's anything keeping you from getting to know God more, lay it down. If it's pride, if it's laziness, if it's fear, if it's busyness, if it's any area of your life, lay it down, because there's nothing more important than knowing Him. I invite you to let go of those things and call out to Jesus with me. I want to know You, Jesus. I want to really know You. Come and take control of me by Your Spirit so that, Jesus, You can live Your life through me. So I can be the true child of God that I already am. And so that I can be the friend of God that I was made to be. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much.